We thank you for your word. We thank you for Holy Spirit, our teacher. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us, and we're asking for enlightenment. Enlightenment today, that we understand what we read and that we apply it, Father, because we want to be blessed by you. And you said it's the one that hears and does that is blessed. So not only do we want to hear, we want to obey. You have given us the power to obey. Amen. The Hebrew year, we're in it now, right?
Yes.
The Hebrew year, 5780. Going to study this out some more. Just have a little bit here to share with you as I have been sharing. As far as I understand, 80, focusing on the last two numbers in the Hebrew year. And you know, numbers, they're represented by a letter in the Hebrew. And the letter is Pei. The number 8080, the letter is Pei. And that 80 is, the way I understand it, is, and I'm still learning more, is made by two strokes. Two strokes make up that letter, Pei. And the first stroke is the design of a spoon or a container. A container, okay? Or a mouth. It could be a mouth, okay? And then the second stroke is resembles a divine spark. A divine spark, say the fire of God, the active power of God. Okay, so if you look at the letter Pei as a shape of a mouth, sword, a two-edged sword, the word of God in our mouth, sharp and accurate, and also like a trumpet, like a shofar, a trumpet, it scatters the word of God. The word of God shatters those things that come against him, that come against God. His word, that's why we speak his word, because it shatters those things that come against God, okay? And it is a wisdom that comes from God. It's beyond human wisdom. The word of God is not human wisdom, right? It was breathed on by God, inspired. It is God's breath, God's life. And when we speak this word, it's beyond human wisdom and understanding. That's why you have to have discernment from God to understand it, right?
Yes.
It is the living word that is spoken. Beyond human wisdom, it is God's wisdom. This is the year. This is the year, Hebrew year 5780, where the Lord God, Holy Spirit, wants to so teach us. He wants us to so much be in the Word of God, saturated in the Word of God, whether we're hearing it by audio, listening to it by video, seeing it by video, or reading it. He wants us so saturated in the Word of God, because this is the year that the Word of God, you are going to hear the Word of God inside of you. It is going to be the God Word. It's going to be the wisdom of God that is spoken out of your mouth that's going to shatter the work of the enemy.
Amen.
Thank you for that overwhelming response.
Mm.
You see, when you can speak a word, but when you speak the word that God gave you to speak, when you speak the word that God gave you to speak, God wisdom, God's word already has the power on it to destroy the enemy. Okay? So when you speak, when he gives you the word to speak, it is the word to speak that will be in your mouth. It's why we've been telling each other this for years and years. God's been preparing us. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. Okay, so today I want to talk about the container. I want to talk a little bit about the container. Some translations say it's a vessel. Mama Vertel read that. A vessel. In God's house there are vessels of honor. Some translations say there are also vessels of dishonor, wooden vessels or utensils. But God in Christ Jesus has made us all. In Christ Jesus, God has made us a vessel of honor. God made us that. We stay a pure and vessel of honor as we are purified by his word. That is why it is real important. I'm going to say again what I've told you before, that through this gentleman that Carmen and I have been able to go hear minister, I believe he is a true prophet, because he's, one of the things he said to me was that you're a mama and a grandmama, and you're a friend. And see, he didn't even know. He knows nothing about me. And even Carmen and her best friend Susan and Susan's niece Hannah that were sitting there in the room, because Hannah doesn't know anything about me. Susan knows more about me than Hannah did, because I had just met Hannah for the first time. And Carmen knows more about me than Susan does. I hadn't even shared with Carmen that I was a grandmother. So I'm telling you that this prophet spoke some things, and I believe that they are accurate. I'm seeing these things are accurate. So I said all that to say this, okay, because I've seen it demonstrated in my life that his words are right. You know what I'm saying? Is that the glory of God, we've been praying for the glory. We know, we've already studied here in this house. We don't pray for God's glory to fall. We don't say, God, send your glory. No, we don't. Because as we're going to read today in this word, his glory abides in us. Christ in me, my hope of glory. And we're going to read the book of John where Jesus himself said, Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. He said it. Now, so, but there is going to be a manifestation. There are times when there is a manifestation of God's glory on the earth. There is coming a manifestation. This is why it's important to be in the Word of God, to keep our hearts pure before God. There is going to be, he had prophesied 3 or 4 weeks ago that there was going to be a blanket of snow that was going to cover parts of the U.S. Now, I believe it's going to affect South Carolina because I was sitting in the audience and heard these words. So I believe that if he spoke it in the audience there, that it affected us. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? Now, the blanket of snow that's going to cover, he had also prophesied that snow that happened, I don't know, 3 years ago, that started in Florida and came all the way up. Do you remember that? All the way up to New York and that way, touched South Carolina, came right on up. But anyway, now he's not the only one that prophesied it, but he's one of the ones that God has showed. But this blanket of snow that's coming on the U.S., I believe he said late February. I believe it was February or March in that area. He said it was going to represent, and as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual, that it was going to represent, be a representation of the glory of God. And with that, it was going to reveal what was in the hearts of men and women. If your heart is wicked, and if I, let's just say us, I might say you, like I'm pointing finger, I'm not pointing finger anybody. But if our heart, if a man or person, if a person's heart is wicked before God, but they pretend that they are not wicked, it is going to be revealed for what it is. The glory is going to reveal. And isn't that the New Testament, saints of God? Isn't that the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira? It revealed what was in their heart. And Peter looked at them and said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? You have lied to the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that's why we need to stay, all of us need to stay purified by the Word of God. Okay? That's my point in that. Because, you know, it's like the scriptures say, if you're wicked, be wicked still. If you're godly, be godly still. You know, it's going to reveal what's in men's heart. Amen. So, you know, I'd rather have, in my quiet time with God, I want God to deal about the things that are in my heart. I want Him to deal with me. Because He says, the Apostle Paul said, if I judge myself, I have no need that man judge me. In other words, I have put myself under the judgment of God's Word. I have dealt with the things in my life. And, you know, and there is nobody, take heed lest you think that you think you all that. Take heed lest you fall. There is no one that, nobody, except the Lord Jesus, that was all God and all flesh, that ever walked on this earth, that did not daily need to be purified by the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the container a little bit. And I had this as a footnote. Our mouth is only going to be as pure as the container it speaks from. Now, we said that today. Carmen spoke that today. And then some things that Tammy, in the worship. My mouth is only going to be as pure as the container it's speaking from. If the container is pure, the mouth will be pure. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to talk about being a pure container. Now, Mama already read it, but I'm going to read it again. Let's start. I'm reading from the Passion Translation because I just like the way it reads, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. In a palace, you find many kind of containers and tableware for many different uses. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver. Doesn't matter how beautiful the outside might look. If on the inside... There is not, isn't that what Jesus said? He said, you whitewash sepulchre. You whitewash sepulchre. You put great effort into cleaning the outside of the container. Oh my God. But inside you are full of dead man's bones. There's no life of God in you. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver. I want to be beautifully, I want to be a beautiful vessel, but the outside, has got the inside has got to truly be beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and God does make us beautiful. He does. His word makes us beautiful. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, but some are made of wood or earthenware. Some of them are used for banquets and special occasions, and some for everyday use. But you, Timothy, and this is the Lord speaking to every child that's been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you must not see your life and ministry this way. Your life and ministry must not be disgraced, for you are to be a pure container of Christ and dedicated to the honorable purposes of your master, that your master has prepared for you for every good work that he gives you to do. We are to be a vessel of honor. We must not ever discredit. We must not ever discredit our life and the ministry that Christ has given us. He's given us all a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile others to Christ. That's our ministry. Everything we do boils down to everything God gives you to do as a born again believer boils down to this. We are supposed to reconcile people to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And he says, run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lust of youth. I look at that as immaturity. If I'm running fast toward ambitions and lust, then I'm immature in Christ. And he says, and chase after that which is pure. Run away from that which is not pure and chase hard and fast after all that is pure. This is the clincher right here that I'm going to minister on the Holy Spirit and with the help of Holy Spirit, I'm going to minister on today. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your only holy pursuit. Selah. Let's say it again. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. That should be my holy pursuit. Is this thing building up my faith? Is it deepening my love? If it's not, then it's not a holy pursuit. It's not keeping my vessel pure. It could, at one point, cause my life and my ministry to be discredited by God. Live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus Christ with pure hearts. Okay, so we're going to focus on this, and that's your blessing for this week. So I'm going to release it. Father, for the body of Christ and those of us here, right here in this room, and that this body represents, Father, we desire by the power of the Holy Spirit to run fast from everything that is lustful, every ambition that is not of you, God. And we desire to chase after everything that is pure. Whatever builds up our faith and deepens our love becomes our holy pursuit. And we live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus with pure hearts. Amen. That's our blessing for this week. That's our meditation. Okay, whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. So this is how the container stays pure. These two things here is how the container stays pure. Whatever builds up my faith and whatever deepens my love keeps my container pure. Okay, so let's look at builds up your faith. Faith that is built up is faith that is exercised or built up on behalf of somebody else. That's how you build up your faith, saints. Faith that is exercised or built up is on the behalf of somebody else. Using your faith on behalf for somebody else. Christ is our example. He served others. What did he say? I didn't come to be served. He did, and you, as silly as this may sound, he is all God and all human. Christ didn't use his faith on himself, did he? As silly as that might sound. What did he use his faith in God? How did he use his faith in God? To serve others. What would happen to the world if I used my faith not for me, but to see somebody else get hope revived or delivered in their life? What would happen to my world? My world, it would be just like they said of the apostles. These are the ones that turn the world upside down. We all have a world to turn upside down. Your world, your circle, your area of influence is your world to turn upside down. Amen. Okay, so Christ is our example. He served others. Okay, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, but look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is proof right here. Oh, the Word of God is full of proof. We don't have to go very far to find proof in the Word of God, in the Gospels, that Jesus served others. But start at verse 38. Luke chapter 4, verse 38, Passion Translation I'm reading from. And after leaving the meeting that day, Jesus went into Simon's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. The disciples begged Jesus to help her. Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and she was healed instantly. Then she got up and began to serve them. Your deliverance, and that's just fresh right there. The Holy Spirit just gave it to me. Your deliverance and your victory is to be used to serve somebody else. To serve somebody else. At sunset, the people brought all those who were sick to Jesus to be healed. Jesus laid his hands on them one by one, and they were all healed of different ailments and sicknesses. And let's remind ourselves, he has given us the authority and the right to use his name. Yes. To heal all elements and to cast out all influences of evil in his name. Demons also came out of many of them. The demons knew that Jesus was the anointed one, so they shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, the son of El Shaddai." But Jesus rebuked them and commanded them to be silent. At daybreak the next morning, the crowds came and searched everywhere for him. But Jesus had already left to go to a secluded place. When they finally found him, they held him tightly, begging him to stay with them in Capernaum. But Jesus said, here it is. But Jesus said, "Don't you know there are other places I must go and offer them the hope found in God's kingdom realm?" This is what I have been sent to do. Jesus continued to travel and preach in synagogues throughout the land. That was Jesus's, as Carmen says, mission from God. That was the work. When he said, "Father, I have glorified your name. I have finished the work you've called me to do." Now, Jesus right here is commissioning us. This is what he was sent to do. Now, what are we sent to do? We're sent to do the same thing, to serve others in every area of their life, whether it's sick, demonic influence, whether it's depression, oppression, whether they need hope in every area of their life. This is what we are sent to do. Look what he said. "Don't you know there are other places I must go and offer them the hope found in God's kingdom realm?" That's how we use our faith. That's how we stay a pure vessel, y'all. That's how we stay a pure vessel. We serve others and give them the hope found in the kingdom realm in Jesus Christ. That is what we have been sent to do. Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God," and all these other things are going to be added. If we're about our Father's business, seeking his kingdom, God, everything else is going to be added to us. Amen. Everything else is going to be added to us. These are Jesus' words. So what is the kingdom? Romans 14:17. You know this. The kingdom of God is not what you eat or what you drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what Christ in us brings to others. When we're about, y'all, well, okay. I saw it this morning, just fresh and new. We've always known it, but somehow you have some, well, not somehow, but thank God by Holy Spirit, you have another aha moment. The kingdom within me, because Jesus said in Luke 17:21, and I'll get back to the other thought, I promise. Luke 17:21, he said, "Don't run here and there when people say the kingdom of God is over here. The kingdom of God is over there." He said, "No, the kingdom of God doesn't come by natural observation of the eye. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. In the person of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is within you." So what is in the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When I'm about the kingdom's business, well, to seek the kingdom of God means I am always seeking, everywhere I am, what is that person in need of? They're either in need of the righteousness of God to be made right with God. They're even in need of peace, or they're either in need of joy. I believe it comes down to these three things. The kingdom of God within me is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So If I'm about the kingdom business, then I'm about bringing righteousness, peace, and joy to others. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. Yes. See, I always thought it means, okay, Lord, and it does to some degree, Lord, I'm seeking your word, I'm seeking your kingdom. Well, what good is it for me to be seeking God's word and his kingdom if I'm not putting it into practice?
Yes.
What good is it?
Yes.
That's what it really, to seek the kingdom of God means to be doing it.
Yes.
It means to be doing works of righteousness. Yes. It means to be doing works of peace. It means to be doing works of joy. Doing it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. About my Father's business. About my Father's business. And it is, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got to stay in the Holy Ghost. I got to stay in Holy Spirit. I got to stay in Him. When I am in Him, then I can successfully serve others in that area.
Yes.
But I have to stay in the Holy Ghost. Yes. The kingdom of God within you is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in me. So in me, because Jesus has gone to the Father, and He's prayed to the Father would send me a teacher, a comforter, a helper, a standby, a guide, a spirit of truth. So, because Jesus has seated the right hand of the Father, which I will not teach my grandchildren. Hallelujah, I get to say that. And it's really I will not ever teach. I told Caitlin, I said, our favorite Christmas movie is Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. And when that little character, what's his name, Lionel, he says, well, Charlie Brown says, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? I do, Charlie Brown. And he begins to read from Luke. I said, I guarantee you one thing, young lady. This is before she was with child. Your grandchildren will know what Christmas is all about.
Yes.
They will. And I will never tell my grandchildren that Jesus lives inside of you. Mm-hmm. No, we think they're not old enough to comprehend. See, there's no age on a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a child. They still have a spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. Spiritually discerned.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Jesus does not live in you. He put His Spirit in you.
Mm-hmm.
He put His life in you through His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So in Holy Ghost in me, and I'm glad Jesus is in heaven, because there He ever lives to make intercession for me. Amen?
Amen.
And to plead my case by His blood before the Father. When the accuser would try to accuse me or you, He's there making intercession. No, my blood is on the mercy seat for them, Father. Okay, so the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in me. So I minister from Holy Spirit righteousness and peace and joy to others. But it's got to be found in Holy Spirit. And love speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. You know, it's like the preacher said, I was baptized in the fire and the smoke won't do. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. But Holy Spirit is not just about tongues.
Amen.
He's about the ministry. He's about the work of the kingdom. Holy Spirit is about the work of the kingdom.
The tongues is the manifestation.
That's correct. And it serves its purpose. Build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It serves its purpose. And you know, even when it's spoken in the church, there's supposed to be an interpretation.
Yes.
Of it. Okay? So that's not what we're talking about today. But the Holy Spirit, let me read that from the Passion Translation, John 15. Now we're going to go over to John, and we'll be in John probably for the rest of the teaching. We're going to be in the book of John. So go to John 15 in the Passion Translation. John 15, verse 26. And this is a beautiful passage. And we'll probably end. No, we're not coming back to. I don't think we're coming back to it today. I was all over the place. But 26. Okay. Passion Translation. John 15, 26. I will send you the divine encourager or the comforter from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, emanating from the Father, and He will speak to you about me. Holy Spirit will speak to you about me. Speak, the mouth, the ear of the mouth, get it here?
Yeah.
Speak to you about me. And we cannot be about kingdom business unless we're in fellowship with Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Kingdom business is a ministry of Holy Spirit. That's why some churches are not going out to the highways and the hedges, and they're not going ministering to the lost. We're getting, the true body of Christ is beginning to get it, because, you know, we've limited our ministry within the boundaries of the church building, and that's not what it's about. That's not, okay, let's keep on going. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. And you will tell everyone the truth about me. You get that? He will speak to you about me, Jesus said. And then you're going to go and do something. Then you got to go tell everybody about me. Woo! For you have walked with me from the start. Well, I know he's talking to the disciples and apostles here, but he's talking to us too. Because he said in the priestly prayer, John chapter 17, he said, Father, I not only pray these for those you have given, this for these you have given me here, but I pray this for those that are yet to believe, Father. And that's you and I. Okay, I want you to look at that word, speak. It means divine, provide evidence. It translates provide evidence. So, here we go. He will come to you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will provide evidence to you about me. Oh my goodness. He will, and you will go and you will provide evidence about me to everyone else, to others. Amen. You will provide, y'all, it's the year, I'm so excited because it's the year where the wisdom of God, for those that are hunger for God, it's the year where the wisdom of God is coming out of a pure heart that is going to produce the evidence, and spiritual eyes are going to be open, and people are going to see Christ. They're going to see what they never saw before and understand. Do we get that?
That's why it's known as the awakening.
The awakening. That's wonderful, y'all. We have been speaking from the wisdom of God's word, and we should have. But now it's the time, not only because we're engrossed in God's word and our heart is pure, but now it's a deeper level where God said, no, I'm going to give you the rule. Now, you've been saturated. Your heart is pure, my word, but you're going to hear. I'm telling you, you're going to hear the word of God in you right here. You're going to hear it in your belly, and it's going to come up out of your mouth like this, and it's going to provide evidence about Christ. It's a good time to be alive.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be in the kingdom.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Y'all, there is no greater joy to see the light come on inside somebody.
Yes.
Carmen doesn't even know this, and I wasn't going to share it, but I'm so excited I got to share it. After that little fellowship meeting, we went to McDonald's to fellowship, and I was so full because you're in the presence of God. The young lady that waited on us, Carmen and Susan, and Hannah had already gone to the table. And this is the second time she served us. We've been at this McDonald's, and it's the second. See, it's about building relationships.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
when
right.
You're mean
that's
and hateful right. to people, they don't want to hear anything you have to say.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time I was with her, I said, you know, you make the, this is the best caramel latte I have ever had. She just lit up like a light bulb. So she was there the next time, last Friday we were there. So her name is Bibi. I looked on her IG.
We
her name
you
was
waited
Bibi.
On us last time.
And I said, Bibi, you going to make that latte for me again? Like, you know, oh, I'm going to make that latte. So, you know, she got about doing other things. And I saw another lady over there. I said, Bibi, you making my latte? She said, yeah, I'm making my latte. So she made my latte. And after she gave it to me, I said, you know, Bibi, I said, you are precious. Mm-hmm. I felt the word of the Lord has inspired me. I said, Bibi, you are precious. You are valuable. I said, you are valuable to God. I said, Bibi, don't you ever let anybody disvalue you or discredit you, because you are valuable to God.
Amen.
You could see it in her eyes. See, that was the right. That was the right word. That's kingdom work right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's kingdom work right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
What about that? I just see this right now. She served me and I served her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. And I could just see it meant something to her. I could see that it went inside. I could see by the expression on her face, almost to the point that she was going to tear up. Mm-hmm. But the Lord needed her to know.
Yes. Yes.
To
Don't you ever let anybody disvalue you or discredit you. You are valuable. Mm-hmm. You are valuable. You are valuable to God.
Yeah. Amen.
And see, she came back there to check on us.
Yes.
She had done it the last time.
To check
if
on.
She came back.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, if she wasn't working, she probably would have wanted to join
she
us.
She probably would have sat down with us. That's right. And people know.
Who at McDonald's comes to check on you?
That's right. That's right. People don't want to know what you know until they know that you care.
Right.
People don't want to know what you know
no.
until they know that you care.
Right.
Amen. You stop building relationships. Isn't that what Jesus did? He built relationships.
Yes.
He built relationships with people. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. And they wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. So, as Jesus gave evidence of the Father, so Holy Spirit in us gives evidence of Christ to the world. Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper, our teacher, our strengthener, our spirit of truth. Boy, how my life changed when I really started to appreciate Holy Spirit. He was there when I was born again, but when I got the second infilling of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, and then beyond that, when I begin to fellowship with Him, how my life has changed. He will change your life. You will not be the same person once you fellowship with Him. You will not be the same person. So here's the other part of this. How do we stay a vessel, a pure vessel? We are in Christ Jesus, we are that vessel of honor. We're not a vessel of dishonor. We're a vessel of honor. We're all of us that are born again. But how do I keep myself, as Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, live a pure life so you never discredit the life of God in you and the ministry of Christ in you. Abstain from things that are impure. Amen. And then he said, whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must be your holy pursuit. Make those two things your holy pursuit. So we've looked at builds up your faith. You build up your faith by serving others, being about the kingdom business. Serving up what is in you, the righteousness, peace, and joy that is found in the Holy Ghost. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God. And when we do that, I'm going to tell you, your blessings will overtake you. Your blessings will overtake you. God will not only see that you have what you need, He will even give you the desires of your heart. He will give you things. He will cause people to give you things, good things, money, clothes, good things will be given unto you, promotions, increase. God will put it right in your lap. He'll serve it right up to you when you're seeking first His kingdom. Okay, next little factor, and we're moving on. Whatever deepens your love. Whatever deepens your love must be your holy pursuit. Okay, go to John 15. Go to John 15, 1 through 8. 1 through 8. This is beautiful in the Passion Translation. John 15, 1 through 8. Well, I did get to go back there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
John
chapter 15, 1 through 8. Okay. This is how we deepen our love. This is how we deepen our love. Right here. This is how. I am a true... this is Jesus speaking. I am a true sprouting vine. Mm-hmm. And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. Mm-hmm. I'm the vine and my Father tends the vine. He cares for the branches connected for me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. I like what Tracy Stewart says, you pruned if you do and you pruned if you don't. Right. Either way, you're going to get pruned. You're pruned if you're bearing fruit and you're pruned if you're not bearing fruit. I love that how she says that. I love it. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. The word, purity of the word. So you must remain in life union with me. My word is purifies you, but you got to remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. I'm in you and you are in me, right? Okay. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine.
Wow.
I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. Isn't that a beautiful picture? As you live in union with me as your source, there you go, Carmen, source. As you live in union with me as your source of everything, y'all. Source of everything. Everything means everything. Everything. And all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct your path. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. In everything acknowledge him. Jesus said, don't say tomorrow I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you say if it is in God's will, and people will say that, and just excuse me, I'm going to get on my little thing for just a moment. Well, you know, if it's God's will, I'm going to do that. No, that's what Jesus meant. Jesus meant, if it's in the will of the Father, if it's in the plan of the Father, I will do it. But if it is not in the plan of the Father, I will not do it.
Right.
It's not case of Rosara. If it's in God's will, it's going to happen, you know. No, it's if I abide in the will of God, right. If I have put myself under the will and the purpose of God and say, God, I am here to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, if it's in the will and purpose of God, then I will say tomorrow I will do this and tomorrow I will do that. But I will not say on my own will, I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to go buy. Tomorrow I'm going to go sell. Tomorrow I'm going to go trade. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. But Father, because I live under your purpose and in your will, Father, show me. What does it say? Man makes his plans, but the final outcome is from the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory comes from the Lord. So you have to submit yourself to that place. And that comes out of intimate relationship with the Lord. Because let's face it, sometimes I've gone about and I haven't really sought him, but yet he turned it and turned me the right way. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's about abiding in him. It's that abiding in him. It's that life union with him, even when you don't even seek him as you should seek him. He's going to turn it back toward, turn you the right way. Isn't he a beautiful God? Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Can we just brag on him right now? Isn't he a wonderful God? Isn't he just a beautiful Savior? I look at God sometimes, and this is going to be funny. I say, how do you do it? How do you keep everything so organized and so perfect? Oh, that's right. You are God.
Amen.
My Lord. Yes. And that's a cry for revelation. That's a cry for intimacy with God. Who are you? Reveal yourself to me, God. Oh, Lord. It's a good day to be in the kingdom. It's a good time to be in the kingdom. The enemy would want us to think, oh, the world's going to this and this and that. I'm telling you, if you will open your mouth and speak the word and pray that when this glory that God is manifesting on the earth, that the true believers of God that got stuff in their heart, that God, deal with us now about it. God, deal with us now about it, God. So when the manifestation of your glory, this that you're bringing to the earth to reveal what is in the hearts of everyone that calls on your name or even unbelievers, God, we want to be like you said, the prince of this world has come. Let's get up and go from here because he has found nothing in me. He has found nothing in me. Glory to God. When the enemy comes to the door, when the enemy knocks, send Jesus to the door. That's what the preacher said once. When the enemy knocks, you hear the enemy, the temptation, Jesus going, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Okay, let's get into it. Where was I? The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. I'm in. How about you? Jesus said, I'm in. I'm in real good. How about you? Are you in? For a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit. Y'all will it. So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in life union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separate from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me and if my words live powerfully within you, you know what?
Power in those lights right there, in that fan. The power is useless
unless it's turned on.
If we abide in Christ, the power is turned on. You understand what I'm saying? The power is turned. When I abide in Him, the power is turned on. It is turned on. If a person is separated, if a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown to the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully in you, it's not just the words. They got to live there powerfully. The words have to be tested. That light switch had to be tested. Some electrician wired that, but it had to go through the process of being tested to make sure that the light came on, right? Yes. Okay, so that's what the Word of God, when you use the Word of God, you're testing it, you're proving it. So, but if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, that's how the Word gains more and more power. It's being tested and used. When you use it, it gains more power within you.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Okay, here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, then you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. It's used. Faith is useless. Power is useless if it's not used. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my God, my Father. Okay, so if we're not bearing fruit, we might sit here and think we're very mature and we're all that. But He says, if you're not bearing fruit, you are immature. You are a vine that hadn't developed. You're a branch. Not a vine, excuse me. You're a branch that hadn't developed. You don't have any fruit on you. Okay, so what do we learn from this? And I'm going to wrap it up. Here's the connection. You got to live in union. We have to live in union with Christ as our source of everything.
Everything.
Live in union with Christ as our source of everything. If that's a big ought to circle that in big bold bright letters. Although I'm still not at the point to mark in the Passion Translation. But if you live in life union with me, if you live in life union with me, and if my words, that word there means rhema, spoken word or sayings, the mouth, y'all see what God's doing? But if my words, the rhema word, the spoken word, or the sayings of God, if the sayings of God live in you powerfully, deep and deep, 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 deep inside of you, then you will ask whatever you want to ask. Then you will ask and you will have what you ask. You know what all that equals? You can put a big equal mark after that. First of all, live in union with Christ as your only source of everything. If you live in union with Him, and if His words abide, live powerfully within you, then you will ask whatever, and it shall be done for you.
Yes.
Now put a big equal mark. You know that all that equals? Your life will bear fruit. Mm-hmm. You're asking so your life will bear fruit. That demonstrates that you're mature ones, that you're taught by God.
Thank you, Father.
Spiritual fruit belongs only to the mature in Christ. Fruit follows those mature in the Word, trained by the Word of God. Now, let's go to 9 and 10. I promise I'm going to wrap it up. This is how. This is the cream on the crop to me. This is actually, you can't miss this. This is the cream on the crop. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. The same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must let my love nourish your heart. Y'all, that heart is not your spirit, man. That's your soul. You have to let the love of God nourish your emotions, nourish your will, nourish your desires, nourish your thinking. If you let my love nourish your heart, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Oh, Father, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Just as I kept my Father. He's the example. Look, Jesus will never ask us to do anything He didn't practice. Just as I kept my Father's commands, for I continue to live and nourish and am empowered by His love. empowered by His love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I've experienced will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Obedience to His word and the love of Christ cannot be separated. Obedience to His word and the love of Christ are not two separate things, y'all. There's not obedience to His word and the love of Christ. There's one. If you do not obey His word, you do not love Him.
Right.
And if you love Him, you will obey His word.
That's what He
said. Oh, my God.
If we don't obey His commandments, we do not love Him. And if we love Him, we will do what He says. He says, keep my commandments. Remember I gave you the Greek word for what that meant? In John 14:15, He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. It's number 5083. It means to watch, to guard from loss or injury by keeping an eye upon. That means your word is in me, God, and I'm keeping an eye upon this word that is in me. I'm watching over. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to watch it. Amen. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I just got to read it again, then we're going to wrap it up. And then I'll read it. We're going to pronounce the Aaronic blessing. And I'll tell you something about the Aaronic blessing my brother pointed out to me. Lord is just bringing everything together in such a rich way. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments, for I continually live nourished and empowered by His love.
So you said John 14:15 in reference to what you just said.
Okay.
In the Passion Translation.
Okay.
Loving me empowers you to obey my commands.
That's it. Just like he abided in his Father's love, that's why he obeyed his Father.
Loving you, oh my God.
Isn't that something?
Empowers you.
Amen. Well, I'm going to pronounce the Aaronic blessing, and then you have the copy here. But my brother pointed this out to me. And I didn't even share with him. He probably knows about 57, 80 years of mouth. I don't know. But he said what's interesting about that, Moses told Aaron, you got to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say it to the people. You got to speak it over them. The blessing is only the blessing if it's spoken.
Not thought.
Ready? The Aaronic blessing. You can read it over yourself, but may I read it over you and bless you. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you presenting gifts. And keep you. May Yahweh, He who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, He who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose, and be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift up His countenance on you. May Yahweh, He who exists, lift up and carry His wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your aid, supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord.
Powerful.
In Jesus' name.
Powerful.
Amen. Isn't that powerful?